Thank you, Roger. Thank you for your lovely voices as they come together every time I stand in front of a new group of people. We got some old group of people back here. Whenever I stand in front of a new group of people, I hear new voices. And I get that new old feeling again, that you're going to be standing in heaven, well, kneeling first, and then standing in heaven with a whole bunch of faces that you've never seen before. By the way, some of them will surprise you. And we're going to be singing songs together to Christ. Just like that. I love that sound. Praise the Lord. I want to thank Gary for giving us a sound foundation and reason of our hope. But we're here tonight also to talk about the fact that at some point we're going to see evidence of the hope. Remember what I said at the beginning. If Jesus said to watch, we're talking about the man, incarnate flesh, God. If he said watch, then he's giving us something to watch for. And so we can begin to look at evidence for that. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And again, maybe you have a list of things. Maybe you have a meter. I have a meter. And it's a meter for this, and a meter for that, and a meter for that. I've got an earthquake meter, and a famine meter, and a cultural meter, and a spiritual meter. And I keep track of them. And it's relatively new, last few years. But I'm starting to pay attention to him more and more. Because he said, when you see, he didn't say if you see. He didn't say, I think it may be coming. You know, I heard a rumor. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, said, when you see all these things, you know that he is near. I want to stop for a second to talk about Gary's imperatives that he talked about, that list of imperatives. I want to focus on this one, know. We want to put the word you know, because in the Greek it's you know. He's talking to them. But in English it's best to probably just leave it out, because it's an imperative. In the Greek it's saying, I'm talking to you, know. When you see these things, I'm commanding you to know that he is near. He says the same thing in Mark 13:29, Luke 21:31. So, if we can know, can we know? Let's just go real briefly to this first purpose that I got on your sheet here. Can we know? We already said that Jesus said we can. He also says in Mark 13:37, what I say to you, he's talking to his disciples right there. What I'm saying to you, then he's talking to the church then and now. He's talking to you in this verse. What I say to you, disciples, I'm saying to everyone, watch. With the same idea that if they can understand something, we can understand something. It's an eternal promise until he comes back. We see, we're watching prayerfully. We're in prayerful obedience and submission to his word and authority of word. And we're in friendship with Christ. And we're watching with our eyes and our spiritual eyes as well. So can we know? Revelation 3:3, he says to the church of Sardis, when remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Now hear what he's saying here, okay? Jesus is not saying to the church of Sardis, listen, if you don't wake up, I'm going to come, and you're going to see me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm coming, and if you're not awake, you're not going to see me, because I'm coming at an hour which you will not understand. That's what he's saying to them. He says, wake up so that you can see that when I come, and we'll talk about more of that, what can we know? We can know. Now, we'll talk about why we can know. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, we have to understand something. We have to be a little bit particular about this word wrath. Okay? We know God's wrath comes on the unbelievers. And it's coming at the last judgment. We know that. We've heard about that. The time we stand before Jesus Christ. And the church will be judged for our works, but our judgment is over and done with. The judgment of the world is for their works, and they will be found wanting. Okay? And we're not destined for that wrath, that final judgment. But at the same time, the day of wrath, in particular, is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the day of God's wrath is that judgment poured out on the world because they rejected him, and poured out on Israel because they rejected him. But guess who's going to repent? Israel will repent. It's a foregone conclusion. The remnant of Israel will repent. 2/3 of them, Zechariah says, will be destroyed. But 1/3 will repent, and some others in the tribulation, but most will not. Hey, rocks, fall on us. They're going to wish to die, and they can't. That's a horrible thing. And we certainly don't want to be that, and we're not destined for that. Okay? And so, like Gary mentioned this earlier, the servants know God's prophecy. He tells them in Amos 3:7, it says he doesn't do anything unless he lets the prophets know. You can see that type in Abraham. When Abraham was being hospitable to those three strangers, and one was the Lord, he called him the Lord. And then God said, will I not let Abraham know what I'm going to do before I go destroy Sodom? That's a type of the servants and friends knowing. Remember what Jesus said. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. All I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, the prophets were definitely servants, okay? And you or I are bondservants. Paul calls himself a bondservant. It's not a bad thing to be a slave to Jesus Christ. It's either that or to the devil. I'll take the other. We're a slave to Jesus Christ, happily. And we come before him and say, Lord, I'm your servant. And he said, by the way, I'm calling you a friend now, and I'm going to let you know what I'm doing. Now, he has let us know what he's doing. He's declared, and it says in Isaiah 44, it is God who declares. We don't declare. You and I don't declare. We don't know when the rapture's coming. We don't know what the September 23 sign is. We hope we know what it is, or think what it is. We have great hope that the rapture is soon. We don't know what the eclipse means. I can tell you that there was a very particular one in Assyria about the time Jonah showed up. So it was an earthquake and a famine at the same time. So it meant something then. Could it mean something now? And Gary says, we're not going to know unless we, there's the key word, watch. So we're going to watch and find out. And so the eclipse goes over America and it touches the Atlantic Ocean, and boom, you have this fantastic hurricane, and now another one. And we'll get into that some later. What does it mean? We don't know. God may be declaring, and then we can proclaim it. Here's what I want to say. That we proclaim as his witnesses. He says in Isaiah 44, we are his witnesses, and we proclaim what he is doing. So, you walk out of here, and let's say you haven't learned a thing. Let's say, I just don't really know what's going on. But I do know this, Jesus is coming back, and I do know this, that I can know something. Jesus said I could. Do I know something now? No. My meter's kind of down here. It's no big deal right now. But at some point, that meter's going to start to peg on you, and it's going to peg on others. And you and I will then be able to proclaim what God is declaring. Make sense? We can say, you see what God is doing? It's clear. He has declared it to us. And he's unveiling it. There's no new declarations. It's all an unveiling of God's work. an unveiling of his plan. And he wants to get the glory for it. It's all his. Why not? But we get to be his friends and know what he's doing as he does it. So when can we know? We got the can we know. We got the why we can know. We're friends. When? Jesus gives us a when. At that time. I love this verse. I really have just fallen in love with this verse in the last week or two. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. You say, Raymond, you're off track. What does that have to do anything about America or anything else? Well, Gary made that particular point, that foundational piece that Israel is key to our understanding. Now, here comes Gabriel. He comes to Daniel. That's the scene here. Gabriel comes to Daniel, and he says, Daniel, at that time, the prince of your people, who's that? Israel. Michael, you're the prince of Israel? Yeah. He's the protector of Israel. Yeah. You'll also find that there's some protectors of bad guys, too. There's one in Persia and one in Greece. They're bad angels. But Michael, at some point, is going to stand up. Isn't that interesting? Because if the church is saying, Israel, you are null and void. You have no part in this. Well, this is a false prophecy. Gabriel's off his rocker. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Throw Daniel out. No. Michael will arise. When? At that time. The great prince who has charge of your people. That means Israel has a part. By the way, the wonderful Christmas verses where the angel Gabriel, again, that same guy, he's not getting it wrong, he's staying on task. He comes to Zechariah and he says, you're going to have a son, John the Baptist, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And by the way, he's going to be a savior to the church. Now, he never mentions the church. The church is not mentioned. He's going to be a savior to Israel. So Zechariah's song proclaims his salvation of Israel. Gabriel does the same thing to Mary. He says, Mary, you're going to have a son, and he will save Israel. And Mary goes and sings about Israel, about Jesus Christ of Israel. And so you see, to understand anything, we have to understand God's plan for and with Israel. Okay? This is the key verse. He will come up. Michael's going to arise. Chapter 12 of Revelation, again. So then, three verses later in Daniel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until, there's that timeline again, until something's going to happen, until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and the knowledge shall increase. Now, in the Hebrew, the word the, or the article, the letter for the is there. And so while we know that communication and knowledge is going to increase all over, a particular knowledge, in other words, an unveiling of God's plan and word, is going to be understood. The knowledge shall increase. Okay? Because it's going to be an unveiling. Because they didn't know then. And God bless Gary for pointing out Luther and those others that they don't really understand, because God, that's not his job. Luther's job was to get us back on the track of grace. But now we're approaching the end, and we need to be watching God unveil things. So then, Jesus said, when, there's that time frame, when you see these things taking place, that he is near at the very gates. Now, some people say, well, see, church has been preaching this stuff for 100 years. They've been preaching this. In fact, the Thessalonians thought they missed it. Remember that? So the church has been messed up for a long time. You got this all wrong. Well, anybody who doesn't understand this, and we need to understand it. Jesus is saying, when you see these, he didn't say when this thing happens or when this thing happens. He says, when you see these things, when you see this convergence, when you see this unveiling, you're going to know. It's going to be plain as the nose on your face. It will be very plain. Okay? So, a little bit more of that later. When can we know? Now, concerning the times and seasons, brother, Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, you yourselves, he says, you have no need anything written to you, not that they can't know, but that he already told them. He said, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, stop for a second. Did you know that on September 21st is the International Day of Peace? And did you know that their theme for this year is peace and security for all nations? Something to that effect. Go look it up. They change their theme every year. And it just happens to be, I can't remember now, it's either on Rosh Hashanah or the day before or something like that. It's very, very, very close. So, and then it says, then Paul says, then sudden destruction will come upon the church. No. See, he says, you're in the daylight. You're not going to be caught by surprise by the day of the Lord. Sudden destruction is going to become upon them. Why? Because you're not appointed to wrath. You will be swept away in rapture if you believe in Jesus Christ. We are not going to talk about the time of the rapture. We know that it's before the wrath. That's all I'm going to say. You are not appointed to wrath. How much we have to go and understand and see and even maybe be a little afraid. Sometimes I wake up a little, you know, like I look at those three hurricanes out in the Atlantic and I go, you know, I was a weatherman in the Air Force. And a hurricane is pretty awesome, but you know what? When you see the destruction that happens, it's pretty scary. And so we get a little cautious sometimes, a little bit concerned sometimes. We get concerned for our family. But remember, you have a hope. You were not appointed to wrath in Jesus Christ. Destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So, just real clear, just so we make clear what the day of the Lord is. Look at it throughout the book of the whole Old Testament. There's several names for it, but the time of Jacob's trouble is a very important one. Oh, there's another clue. Israel, a time of Jacob's trouble so that they can repent. But the day of the Lord is this. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land, there's a clue, tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Now again, if God was done with Israel, he would not care about warning Israel. He's coming to judge the earth and turn Israel back. So he's telling them, this day is coming because you forgot and missed your Messiah. Chapter 9 through, I can't remember, 11 in Mark. Just read it. They weren't ready for him. And so Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. This is the harvest. This is the summertime. Okay? This is the when. The summertime is coming. And you and I will be able to see the summer approach. The summer, what was it? It was the harvest. They had an early harvest, but then they had a summer harvest. And that was when the wheat and the tares were growing together. Remember them guys? And I found out recently that some of them are poisonous and they're not good. And they, you know, you rip them out, you rip the good grain out and stuff. So just let them grow. And then at some point, God's going to harvest them and he's going to send out his angels and divvy that up. But listen, when he divvies it up, you're not being divvied up. He doesn't have to divvy you up. You are already part of the bride of Christ. You're already feasting with him. And then you come back with him during this time at the end of summer. Okay? But so Paul goes on in Thessalonians. He says, you are not of the darkness, brothers, for that day, he says it again, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, here's the command of Paul via the Holy Spirit. Do not let us sleep. Be awake. Watch as others do. Do not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith. Faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He has something for me. Hope is in that something for me. And love for Christ and the church. And for a helmet, the helmet of hope of salvation. The helmet is, okay, I run everything through my mind. And the helmet of salvation protects my head. And it tells me, I am saved, therefore I have hope. You are saved, therefore you have hope. So Luke 21, 34 says, don't be weighed down. Don't get weighed down. Stay awake. And verse 36 of Luke 21 says, pray. This is really interesting. Pray that you might escape the things coming. Now, listen. If the Lord is saying for you and me to pray to escape these things, that means there is an escape. I heard a preacher, a television preacher, talking the other day. He said, you know what? I got to say this. I can't be too proud to say this, that I'm looking for an escape. That the Lord has given me an escape, and I pray for it. And I want that escape. The concern we have is that our friends and our relatives aren't praying that same prayer. And that will be our work for now. But you and I can pray for that escape. And if you're in the Lord, He's going to take you home like He did Enoch, like He did Moses from the flood, all those types, that He's going to save you out of destruction. So that was the how and can and all those things. Here's the when again. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. This is a parable. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Now, the reason we know this is a fig tree, because Jesus uses it several times. When he goes up and the Pharisees, when he goes up to, in Mark, to Jerusalem and to the temple, there's nobody there. Read Mark's account, it's wonderful. He goes up there, there's nobody there, and he leaves. Because they weren't waiting for him. And that's when he cursed the fig tree as a type. He says, I'm going to curse Israel. Okay, I'm going to judge them, but then there's that hope that he's going to come back and save them, all right? So that's why we know the fig tree is Israel, several other verses as well. But he says, look, all the trees. Now this is a clue. This is a huge clue. Jesus is not talking about something we can't know. He said, when you see the fig tree, 1948, and all the trees, you'll know. So watch. Birth of the nations. There's 195 nations today. We call them trees. Jesus called them trees. Before the year 1900, there were 44, okay, states. They call them states, state governments. Between 1900 and 1950, we got 38 more. And then in 1951, oh, by the way, just after Israel became a nation, in 1951 to 2000, 109 new states. They broke off of, I think I got it here, most of them broke off of Spain, France, and Portugal, the United Kingdom, and Soviet Russia. Remember, Soviet Russia split up, and all those little countries came up. So now you've got all these nations, and they're all settled. Everybody's got their, they're not happy in their own land, trust me. But they've got their own borders. They've got their own nations. These trees are blooming. And by the way, since 2000, there's only been four. Last one was Sudan in 2011. And the population between 1927 to 2017 rose from 2 billion to 7.5 billion trees. I'm sorry, not trees. You see what I'm saying? That the trees are blooming. The nations have bloomed. They're in full bloom. So much so that they want somebody else's land. They want to take everybody else's stuff. They're comfy, and they want somebody else's stuff now. And so when you see these trees are tender in root, know that he's near. That was the first key, okay? Mark says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So Michael is going to stand up, because the fig tree is going to bloom, and people are going to want this land and what they have. And all these things are going to happen because of the coming convergence that's centered around this little nation. By the way, Israel's got several anniversaries this year. You might have known that the Jewish year 5777 or 2017 is a dramatic year for Israel. 120 years, there was a Zion Council. 100 year, the Balfour Declaration, which Israel, which UK said that, hey, we'll give you your land back. They had a tough time following through. America made sure they did. Actually, I should say God made sure they did. A 70-year anniversary of them being in the land, and then another 50-year anniversary of them, the most important piece of all, having the rock, Zion. Because Zion is God, is where God's city is. That's his city, the name of his city. So, we've got this tender shoot here. We've got Israel. Off of, in the Mediterranean, all these gas fields, these oil fields that they're finding, other people are getting jealous. Then they start drilling in Megiddo for the first time just several months ago, real crude oil out of Megiddo. And then they've got the most advanced military in the Middle East, probably actually in Europe, by far. They just bought. They just got the last of a 50 F-35s, the most advanced jet in the world that we built. And actually, I think I saw they put in another order for 17 more. That little tiny nation is going to have 67 F-35s. They've got submarines in the Med. They've got all kinds of stuff. They've got the most advanced anti-aircraft, anti-missile defense system in the world. They've got the short range, the medium range, the high level. They're ready. They call it Samson's sling, or David's sling, I'm sorry. And they're ready. But something is going to happen. Something has to happen for them to be brought to their knees to repent. Because right now they just think they're all that and then some. And God says, I need you to turn to me in humbleness with that new heart that I'm going to give you. And repent. Okay, so when and can we know and why? How about how? How can you and I know? Well, it's pretty simple. It's called study. It's called being in relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's a clue. Every day, Jesus taught at the temple. But every evening, he went out to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. Now, we're going to go through the 13th chapter of Mark very quickly. And you're going to see, we're going to see summer. We're going to look at the approach of summer, when summer arrives, at the midpoint of summer, and the end. All right? We're going to use Luke to do it. We'll tap in with some other verses as well. But just remember this, Jesus is teaching two places. He taught publicly in the temple. He taught privately on the Mount of Olives. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. I mean, Jesus is not concerned about this. There's something else that they need to know privately. So he said that publicly. That's the public part. Then, and as he said, where? On the Mount of Olives, remember, the Holy Spirit is very specific. He uses the word opposite the temple. Not just down the way. No, opposite. From what he was saying there, not that he was saying something different there, it just wasn't the whole story. He was talking publicly there, he's talking privately here. Peter and James, John and Andrew asked him, there's the word, privately. Tell us, when will these things be? That's the temple. And what will be the signs of all these things that are about to be accomplished? So you see, we have a progression. 70 AD, The temple came down, but something has to happen after that. And that's what Jesus is going to get to. So that tells us that we need private study. We need to get in the Word of God, and we can understand it by the Holy Spirit and with each other, right? In the church, as we come together. If you want to know something, get personal with Jesus Christ. And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." On Sunday nights, we have ongoing teachings about prophecy. Gary mentioned that it's over 25% of the book is prophecy. So Sunday mornings, we're going through the Bible in worship, and Gary's leads a wonderful Bible study, and the kids are being taught, and we're all being taught. But we're not going to leave out the 27% of prophecy of the book. And so, one of the things that we've noticed here just recently is the amount of messiahs that are showing up. I mean, just go Google them. Do you know that other day in India, the man got, I think, 15 years or 25 years, I can't remember, for rape. And he's declaring himself as a messiah. And there's hundreds of people in India that came out to cause the riot because they put this guy in jail. So there's all kinds of these guys. I went out and Googled the top 10 messiahs out there. Just go find them. They're out there. And they're going to lead many astray, and they already are. Before I go on, can I say something? America has had the gospel for 250 years and more. We don't want any messiahs. We don't want anybody coming in here and teaching us that stuff. The fastest growing religion in America is atheism, is secularism. Don't give me that stuff anymore. And so that's where America is at. That's my soapbox there for just a second. Some more what? And when you hear, this is the beginning of the what. This is what Jesus is saying. Here's what you're going to start looking for. When you hear of wars and rumors, that word is also threats of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. Now, let's just jump over here for a second. Remember back in World War I? Neither do I. Maybe some of you do. But I'm back in World War I when some of the church was going, "Oh, here comes Jesus. He's coming. The return's coming. And some of this other stuff's coming." Then World War II, the same thing. "Oh, it's the end of the world, the end of the world." There's a problem. Remember that piece, that cornerstone? Well, not that cornerstone, but that piece and the foundation that Gary talked about, and again we've alluded to here? Israel was not in the land. Israel was not in the land till well after World War II. That's number one. Number two, there was no convergence. Now, because of war, there was famines and pestilences and some of those things. But they were like this. They weren't coming together. They weren't coming together in convergence, as Jesus said. So, wars and rumors of wars. Then Jesus said, "For nation will rise against nation." That's the China and Indias of the world. That's the India against Pakistan. India against China. Russia against the United States. Russia against Europe. That's the big stuff. And kingdom against kingdom, that's the Qatar and Saudi Arabia's. That's the South Korea and the North Korea. Those we say skirmishes. They're not skirmishes. They're very hefty wars. They're very, very significant issues. The Qatar issue is very, very significant. There will be earthquakes and famines. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. And again, he says, "These are but the beginnings of birth pains." So this is the approach of summer. This is when we see summer is just about ready to get here. Because Jesus said, "When you see these things, look up, because he's at the gate. His redemption is drawing near." When we see these things begin, well, there's the beginning. Wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes, and those kinds of things. So it denotes convergence. All these things are the beginning of the birth pains, and summer is approaching. Okay? So here's a summary so far. The visual signs of the beginning of summer. Summer is approaching. Number one, Israel's in the land. Okay, we're good to go. We're on solid ground. Two, wars and rumors of wars. You hearing any of that stuff? Where's your meter on that? Three, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, and famines. You should have a meter. I have a meter. I have at least six. Okay. The one set introduces the people of the world and their love growing cold. And two is the groanings of the earth. As Paul said in Romans 8:22, creation groans. So there's groanings, but at some point they become very seeable and very visual. What? Summer has arrived. This is when summer has arrived, okay? Now, I will say this. At this point, some of us believe the church will be gone. Okay? We're not going to make a major case out of this, but this is when summer has arrived. You can see that this is coming right now, because if you see the BDS boycott, it's the boycott against Israeli goods. The universities are going after them. The UN hates Israel. On and on and on. Okay? And the church, what's happening with the church. You know, I can't bake a cake when I want to and all that stuff. So Jesus said, be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils and you will be beaten in the synagogues. There's a clue. I don't have a synagogue around here that I'm going to be beaten in. Jesus in particular right here is talking to the Jews because the church is probably going to be gone. Okay? Beaten in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. By the way, if Israel is being beaten in the synagogues, they're probably standing up for their Messiah. That's probably the reason. Maybe a clue there as well. We will see. Again, what? And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given in you, to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So whoever hears when summer arrives, we're not to be concerned about what to say, but to say what the Holy Spirit tells us. And then further on, when summer arrives, and brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. There's another clue that at this point, probably, Israel is going to be standing for their Messiah. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. There's another clue. Because remember, there is a rapture of the church. And we don't want to argue about when that's going to happen. But the ones who are left behind and come to Christ must endure to the end. So that's another clue of the tribulation. Summer has arrived. So this now is the heat of summer, right in the dead heat of summer. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. There is another wonderful help for us. Jesus is saying, let the reader. That's the reader of the word. That's his friends. That's you and me understanding that that's what Daniel talked about. The abomination of desolation, Antiochus Epiphanes being the type of that. We understood that he desecrated the temple. He went in and he slaughtered a pig on the temple. And this guy, whoever he is going to come in and desecrate the temple and claim to be God. When that happens, Israel has to run. They have to flee. All right? Now, I'm just going to paraphrase, just going to bullet the rest of this portion of the heat of summer. He says, if you're on the housetop, flee. If you're in the fields, run. Keep going. He's warning to pregnant women and those who are nursing. There will be such a tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation. False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and miracles. So all this is going to be happening after the Antichrist steps into the temple. Okay? Israel has to run. Then he says, to finish this, he says, so be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. Now let's talk about the end of summer very briefly. But in those days after, there's another term, there's another time clue. After the tribulation, after Jacob's trouble, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. So that is the very end. Okay? And you see that he is going to, you see there at that time, that's when the powers of heavens are truly shaken. That doesn't mean that things can't happen before, because remember what Jesus said, when these things begin, there could be some of that stuff going on before, but it really gets bad at that point. Okay? So there's your summary on your sheet. The signs of summer at the beginning, the summer approaching, summer arrived, the heat of summer, and the end of summer. I hope that will help you with other folks understanding summer, understanding the day of the Lord, and understanding what Jesus was saying.